Balcony's first ever year-round bourbon was an inspiration. It all had to work together. A blend of carefully selected ingredients, Texas-sized pot stills, and creative people determined to find the absolute best way to usher a new whiskey along. When you discover how it pairs with a meaningful moment, suddenly the feeling of drinking great whiskey becomes a whole lot more.
Hey everybody, welcome to this week's episode of Whiskey Neat, spirited conversations with interesting people. I am your host. God dang it. I'm sorry. I caught it.
So, I knew this was going
to
be an issue too.
So I'll get used to it. Yeah. So for those who aren't aware, this is actually our third intro today. We moved the monitor to dead center of the room, which is just to the camera's left. So it's hard for me not to look at me and look at you, so bear with me. Listen, so over the last 3 years, which, by the way, happy third anniversary. We are now in this for 3 full years. We've had reasons why a show couldn't be recorded. It could be a guest canceling last minute because of COVID, or it could be someone just not showing up. So we've had a few situations in which we got caught off guard. Now, we could either just not say anything besides our social media post, and then on your drive to work, you realize, oh, there's no new episode. What's going on? So I hate that. So we had a bit of a scheduling misunderstanding, and this week we are again without an episode. So what we plan to do moving forward is to at least air a previous episode and then play it with a new intro, updated, you know, and kind of give you an explanation so that you, if there is an episode you haven't seen, here's your chance to listen to that episode. And I did want to mention that we got our good friends Amroot back as a sponsor. So, and this does make me very happy. So Amroot has obviously supported the show for a while now, and I love him so much. So I'm excited to announce that this year Amroot became the world's fourth trending world single malt, just after Nika, Centauri, and Cavillon, all Asian whiskeys, right? So their whiskeys continue to receive high praise, high points, medals, et cetera, et cetera. We know this. It's delicious. You can still find our Amroot single barrel pick at Specs across Texas. But one of the things that I'm really excited about is Texas is still their number one state. Amroot has been a huge supporter of the show. I've been a huge supporter of them. So I couldn't thank them enough, and we can't thank you enough. So without further ado, please enjoy this legacy episode with Coleman Domingo from The Walking Dead. I mean, the guy has been in... He was in Ma Rainey's Black Bottom more recently, and he was the very first voice you hear in Lincoln. I'm just such a huge Coleman fan, and he's very talented. So check out this episode if you haven't heard it. This was filmed in August of last year. And yeah, cheers. Coleman.
Yeah.
Thanks so much for doing this.
Oh, it's good to be here with you.
Very nice to meet you. I mentioned it off air beforehand. I've been a fan. Everyone in the world watches Fear the Walking Dead.
Yeah.
You know, everyone knows who Victor Strand is.
Yeah, right.
I actually watched Big Gay Sketch Show.
Oh, sweet. Oh, my God. You went way back.
I already watched it before.
Okay.
It's funny how you forget things. So at the time when I watched it, I didn't realize who Kate McKinnon was.
Oh, yeah.
And then now...
Everybody knows
Kate McKinnon.
I knew who she was.
When I went back to watch Big Gay Sketch Show,
yeah,
I was like, that's Kate McKinnon.
Yeah.
Like, you start recognizing more names, and you're like, was
Erica
this ahead
Ash,
of its time?
Steve Guarino. Exactly. It was a great cast, you know?
And, so that's, I mentioned this off air, but I get to do research for this, research for people I get to sit down with, and I get to jump in head first into your entire body of work and get to obsess about you for a few days. I mean, my wife, we love to watch movies together. In every movie or show I was recommending, hey, let's watch Lincoln. She's like, is it because you're about to interview? She's like, is this guy in this? I was like, he's the first voice you hear in Lincoln.
Yeah.
So uh, I
I am now a super fan of Coleman Domingo.
Thank you, man. I could use one.
So I wanted we'll start with something great and solid and delicious.
Sweet.
And then I'm gonna lead you into what I think you have profusely exclaimed your love for a good old fashioned.
Yeah.
And so what we'll do is, do you drink scotch? Drink whiskey?
I love scotch and whiskey.
Yeah, you drink neat?
Neat.
Yeah.
Single malt neat.
All perfect. Right. So this is made like scotch, but it's actually made in India. What I like to do is I like to find something that's going to a great representation of outside the norm, right? Everyone sees the next Marvel movie but there are a lot of great films you maybe didn't even know existed. So this is one of those great films that isn't as well known to other people. So it's Amrut.
Amrut.
It's made in India, made in the same exact standards as scotch. And I'm going to give you small pours.
Okay.
Let me get in here.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, this is a port cask. Amrut Portanova.
That's
and
nice.
And it's got some heat to it, 62.1%.
It's got some serious heat to it. It's just right on the nose.
So you thought you were warm now or before.
This is like...
Just wait. Cheers, buddy.
Cheers to you,
man. We'll socially distance the rims.
Cheers.
There you go.
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
That's nice.
Really intense.
Yeah, it's really intense.
Once your mouth adjusts, you're going to really love...
It's not too... I don't got any smoke on it. It's more... That's nice.
It'll warm your chest up for sure.
It'll warm it. It's slightly peaty. It's good.
It does have a little bit of a phenolic note. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Let me ask you, you've done quite a few interviews.
Yeah.
You're a man about town. What's the least favorite thing you get asked that you wish people would stop asking about? let's get immediately controversial.
What's the least favorite thing?
Common thing you get asked about?
Because I'm on a show about zombies, that people always think, you know, if there was a real apocalypse, what would you do? It's like, I don't know. Like, what would anybody do? Like, I mean, that's so, you're theorizing something. Well, now I think we kind of know what we would do, I realize, in a way.
Sure.
Not that it's truly an apocalypse.
We would ignore all warnings and immediately.
Exactly. Yeah. I think people ask me that, and I feel like it's such a thing that, like, you don't know until you're there. I think that's what the show, what Fear the Walking Dead is about. It's like, when you're thrown in it, you don't even know who you're going to become. That's actually the interesting part.
Especially about your character.
Yeah. Especially
Victor Strand.
Yeah, especially about Victor Strand. Like, I mean, he was a well-made, you know, he built himself up from nothing and had money and access, and he was pretty much a corporate guy. And then suddenly, you know, the shit hits the fan, and then he's now he's in scraps and figuring himself out. I actually think that Victor Strand, I've theorized, and I even talked to my showrunners, I feel like that he is a symbol of the deconstruction of Western civilization. Because he was everything about Western civilization, of building yourself up, have an agency in the world, and then once that's taken away, who are you? Who are you when you don't have money, when you don't have cars, when you don't have, you know, all that
stuff?
When
everything you held dear, it no longer exists.
Yeah, your whole belief system gets smashed.
He's what the average person would do.
Yeah.
At the end of the world.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, and he was trying to hoard it too. He was trying to hang on to those things, those trappings of Western civilization, like, you know, having a dope yacht and having, you know, bottles of scotch and champagne. You know what I mean? And then at some point, it's all going to run dry. Then who are you? So I think that's actually a great question. You know, it's always like, who are you?
It's something that, of course, when it first came out, I watched it and I went back. Started in season two, because now it's when you became a regular and kind of revisited that show.
Yeah.
It just was interesting to me to see the vast difference. And of course, you see it with people like Christian Bale, where he loses 50 pounds in one show or in one movie, then gains it all back for...
Well, what you're saying is, I think what you're ultimately saying is, which I'm taking it as a huge compliment, because I've always deemed myself a character actor. And I make decisions about everything, about how I move, what my sign is, what I eat, what my body, the way my, even sometimes when I shave my hairline, it's like, even when I was doing, I did a movie called Birth of a Nation at the same time I was doing the first season of Fear the Walking Dead. And I had to work out my hairline because I put my hairline back because of his circumstance of being a slave, et cetera, et cetera. And I napped it out and things like that. But then I had to fly to Vancouver to shoot Fear. So I had to work that out and figure him out who this, you know, this wealthy man of me. So, but everything has a decision, I think. I think even like vocally, because a lot of times when people meet me on the street, they're like, oh, you don't sound like Victor Strand.
Yeah.
And I, you know, right now, because I'm just sitting, I'm a bit more grounded in the morning, I'm like, my voice can go a little deeper. And that's sure. where sort of Victor Strand lives, you know? And then like, you know, but naturally my voice is like in this mid-range right here. And then sometimes I play with it. But that's all just being, I come from the theater and it's about like, I love investigating everything. You know, it's like people will always see, they're like, oh my God, I thought you were heavier. I thought you're bigger. I'm like, I possibly was, because I was like 20 pounds heavier for the movie Selma, and then I lose weight for other things. And right now I'm shaving. That's an accident, but I'm going to grow it back because I'm about to start shooting Euphoria again. And then I have to trim it down for, sure. it's all a dance. You
but
know?
it's something that I don't think you don't even realize how easy you make it look.
No,
because you don't even click to these things. And then what you're saying in all of those examples is that people don't even notice this, or they don't realize this, or they don't. It's because they don't take. They get lost in the character. There's this suspension of disbelief.
Dude, thank you. That you know what I think.
It's a compliment you are as an actor.
Thank you so much, man. I think that's what I strive to do. It's like, because I feel like it's about the character and the story, and you want to like sort of be a part of that and not let it stand out as a this is the performance. I think sometimes that's why I think as a performer. I think certain performers, you see part of like who they are in every single role. You really see sometimes the exact same thing. They're just sure. a different costume. You know, with me, I feel like I'm a bit trickier that way, where you have to go to my full body of work and you're like, oh, wait, he was in that too? That's that same dude?
Not to out him, but Vince Vaughn, that he had this, or Owen Wilson, right? He's got that same delivery of, and there's nothing wrong with that.
No,
but you don't get lost in the character with Owen as you do with Coleman. So let's. I know you're a fan of old fashions.
Yeah.
And I've got two things I want to share with you. So first, I'll give you the sales pitch on this bottle right here.
Whoa, what is that?
So this is a bottled in 1905. It's 115-year-old ginger brandy. So I picked it up at auction. That's actually the original cork there.
Whoa.
We bought it at auction. We had to make sure it was safe for consumption, because depending on how you store it, it's not great.
And in Philadelphia, that's where I'm from.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. And so this was medicinal back in 1905. It helped solve diarrhea, cramps. You're supposed to drink a wine glass full to
I'm
help.
Sure, it still does.
Yeah, absolutely. So it's ginger brandy. I thought what we can do is we'll cut for a minute. We're gonna make an old fashioned. With 115-year-old ginger brandy, and we can have a little piece of history together in this beautiful, beautiful bar in downtown LA.
You're my favorite person in the world now.
All right, I'd fist bump you, but coronavirus.
Exactly.
All right,
exactly.
We'll take a quick break, and I tested it out already, by the way.
Shut your
it's awesome.
Face.
Cheers.
Cheers to that.
All right. Yeah, there's no promise that it's good, so that's what's great about old spirits.
Let's see. Very soft.
Soft. It's usually a lower proof, so you add a little bit extra.
Yeah.
Ginger.
What was the proof on that?
30%.
Oh, yeah.
So a little lower than bourbon.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
My old burnt up tongue would be able to taste more than
that. Yeah. So it's deceptively easy to drink. You can have a couple of those, and all of a sudden you're like,
that's not too bad.
All right.
It's not too bad. It's good.
Fresh ginger. So it's definitely, you can really taste like old. I say fresh ginger, right?
Old ginger.
Mm-hmm. Let's talk.
Yeah.
About Candyman.
Yeah, let's do it.
All right. So, first of all, how great is Jordan Peele? Feel free to be honest. I should ask
terrible.
You after a few
he's
more
terror.
Drinks.
He's actually such a cool dude. He's really good. He's like even like when I first met him. I met him the day after he won his Oscar. We had a general meeting set up because we wanted to figure out. Just get to know each other. That's it. And I was sure, the whole time I was driving there, I was like, I'm sure our meeting's going to be canceled. I mean, was he out enjoying the night and not the governor's ball, you name it. But I go there and I have this incredible meeting with Ian, who is his creative director, and with Matthew Cherry, who was there as well. And we just talked, get to know each other. And then Jordan came down and we talked for like 45 minutes and we talked about everything but film. We talked about art. We did talk about horror. We talked about Black people, we talked about, you name it. And that went on for about a good 45 minutes, and that's it. You know, with general meetings, you just like figure, you know, we get to know each other.
You find the vibe. Yeah.
The vibe, and then you hope at some point you'll work together. And then a year later, Ian reaches out to me and says that he's been writing this role for me. And I thought, oh, that's wonderful. I'm like, I don't care what it is. It could be two lines and I'm in.
Sure.
You know, and then once I found out the role, I thought I was very intrigued by it. He's this guy who holds a lot of the history of the Cabrini-Green projects. And he is a part of, like, he has experienced trauma in that neighborhood. And that neighborhood is going through a change. And I think that he's sort of like a bit of a key to that change.
Yeah, I can't wait to see it.
Yeah, Yaya's character has lots of questions about him, and I seem to have some answers. So we'll see where that goes.
So it got pushed back. When is Candyman out now?
It's coming out, I think, October 11th or 16th, something like that. In October. Mid-October.
Which is good.
It's good.
Before Halloween.
I think it's perfect right before Halloween.
You think we'll be out of this by then?
I don't know what we'll be, but hopefully maybe it'll... I'm all down for it happening in, like, you know, a drive-in movie theater. I feel like that's the wave of, like, what's happening right now. I feel like there's going to be many more of those things built. And
they went away for years because they weren't needed. Now we need them more than ever.
Isn't that something? Now they're like, you back now, huh? Oh, you want this big screen and outdoors and speaker hooked up to your car? Are you ready for that now? Exactly. But maybe that's it, though. Think about that. The drive-in... I think it's because everything needed to move slower again, and we needed to be in a car with your family. Remember that? I remember that growing up, being in a car with my family, sitting in the back seat or sitting on the roof of the car, and then the speaker, and you watching it as a family.
Yeah, but Coleman, you don't have any kids.
No, but I'm going to get some kids. I'm going to have to find some.
I hate being in the car with my
kids.
No, I'm just kidding.
I will take your children.
We had Irish twins. We had back-to-back babies, right? Just literally my poor, loving wife. We had, we've got four.
You have four kids.
Yeah, I have four. So
and you're still standing.
And she's still standing.
She's still standing. God bless her.
She's still here. She still loves me. That's good. That's why I drink, though. I was talking to Joe before we were recording.
Okay.
This is a bottle of J.W. Dant bourbon from 1969. Beautiful. This was bottled.
The bottle is sexy.
Yes, it is. Yeah,
look at it.
And Dant is still around. It's not a good bourbon now. But
It's like Boont's Farm?
It's bottom shelf bourbon now.
Okay.
But the classic example, this is an old Italian export as well. It's 7 years old, so it was distilled 7 years before you were born, but it was bottled the year you were born. I thought it would be great if we shared a pour from a birth year bottle.
Dude, that's beautiful.
So 52 years?
You've become my favorite person already in the last, like, 15 minutes, just so you know that. Oh, look at that.
That's how you know it's real.
It's a ceremony.
That's how you know it's real.
Look at that.
That's a fresh glass. Feel free to go a little
heavy on
this.
Smells 50 years old.
Yeah.
Young.
50 years young. 50 years young.
50 years young. We're doing pretty good. Between Sesame Street and...
Tap, tap. Oh, yeah. Sesame Street
and
was...
And this bourbon. That I like.
Yeah. Like a little bit more heat on there, too.
Whoa, there's some heat on there. That I like a lot.
What's the proof
on
that here? It's only 86 proof. Wow. It drinks a little hotter.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, so one of the things I loved about your interview with Yaya in Common is he was drinking one of my favorite brandy distilleries. There's a few brandy distilleries in the U.S. making brandy, but one of the most iconic to me, one of my favorite ones, is there's this South African guy named Joe Herron. He decided to open a distillery in downtown Louisville, bourbon country, and not make bourbon, but to make brandy.
Oh.
And that I think you guys made a... What's that? It's like a sangria or something?
What do we make? Oh, we did make sangria.
Yeah, it was a sangria,
I think. We made a sangria,
But he used brandy from Copper and Kings.
Yeah.
You don't see, it's not very common that I see that particular brand.
Oh, really? Yeah.
And it's such a hidden gem of Louisville.
We try to curate and send everybody a different bottle of brandy. So they make it so it's a little different for them. That's fantastic. That's really beautiful.
You can take this home with you.
What?
Yeah. If you've got a, back bar. You've got
That's
a great
beautiful.
Back bar. And enjoy on your birthday every year. You have a pour from it.
I'm about to make out with you. This is incredible. This is just incredible.
You know, I would do it for the story.
This is beautiful. Thank you so much.
I tried real hard because I wanted to talk to you about Raul, your husband.
You can.
But it's actually quite hard to Google and find I didn't know if that was by design or not.
Yeah. It's by design, I would say, that we've always believed that... I always, like, even my family, a lot of people don't even haven't seen pictures of my family, because I think it's something I want to keep to myself.
Sure.
I feel like because we're such public people that I feel like you don't get all of it.
You're not entitled to it all.
Yeah, you're not entitled to all of it. Even like, you know, there's some images. I've been very good about curating what people see in my home.
Sure.
Because I feel like I don't want to give that all away.
Sure.
It's mine, or when friends are over and I have parties or dinner parties, I ask people kindly to not take photos because I want to just, you know, preserve the moment and let it be about us right here. Nothing goes on social media because I think we need that. And so that's why I feel like husband, family, loved ones, private things, that's off limits.
This is what I was conflicted about. So I watched your, you've done a couple podcast interviews with a Nerdist.
Yeah.
Right? I know you guys are close.
Mm-hmm.
He asked about your husband, Raul, and you were...
That's the first time we really talked about it.
Yeah.
Anywhere.
So I like looked for it elsewhere, couldn't find it. And I was like, wait, does he not want to talk about it? Does he want to talk about it?
No, it's one of those things because I feel like a lot of people don't even know that I've been married for, 15 years?
Which is why I want to talk to you about it. I've been with my wife for... we're about to hit 14 years, or we're in our... she's going to kill
and
me.
And I'm like, I wear rings.
Yeah.
Nobody even like spots it. Yeah. You know what I mean?
It's
women do.
Sure. Women spot it. Absolutely.
Yeah, women spot it.
You'd be surprised at how many ignore it. Even they in LA.
They also ignore it. You know, but I mean, but look at this. I mean, of course. Being silly. Hey, Anik. I can tell she's laughing, looking at, even with her mask on.
Right. So it's just been this, it's been interesting to try to get a vibe because we read off body language so much that it's hard to get a vibe off somebody.
Yeah. But although I've been finding that like whenever I go to the market, I find that people are actively trying to engage more with each other, like walking down the aisle and just being verbal and just saying, hey, how are you today?
Have to be, right?
Yeah, I feel like you have to be because you don't just have a nod or a smile. You have to actually use your words like our mothers would say.
Yeah, I think you're definitely... I guess that makes sense. You're being forced to be a bit more intuitive and try harder with people.
Oh, yeah. Dude, I go for a run every morning, and I'm like the dude in the neighborhood. Like, but I'm full wave, like full like, hey, how's it going? And they're fully waving and smiling, but everyone's being really proactive to say, hey, you're human, I'm human, and we're really communicating, you know? Yeah.
That might be what the good that comes out of this.
Dude, I think so. I think it has to. I think we all had to slow down, honestly. I feel like everything we were doing was actually unsustainable. I look at my life, the way I was running right before this lockdown, I was on 4 planes in 1 week, and I was just going. I thought that was the norm. I bought a house, and I was in the house. I've had this house for, almost 2 years, and I think I was in it for maybe 40 days. And I thought,
That's exhausting.
That's exhausting, but you that's what you do. And you thought that's you know, I was home for a weekend, or I was home for a couple of days, or I'm 5 days here. And then you realize, actually that's not healthy. And so I had some friends over, socially distanced, of course, just 2 friends over, and we hung out in the yard, and they were like, oh my God, your yard is so lush and verdant. And it's a yeah, because I've been able to tend to it and garden, and now things actually look like very lived in and warm, you know. I have a good ass groove and a couch.
Sure.
You know, that's just, you know
how this
mean?
Bar feels. It feels
like
it's lived.
The bar has been lived in. Yeah. The bar has been fully lived in and stocked.
And that's good to, I mean, especially for your home. I mean, D.L. Hughley collapsed on stage in the middle because he hit just running nonstop. And while he was running nonstop, he got COVID. And it's one thing to push your body to the limit and to burn from both ends, then you get hit with something like that, and he ended up collapsing on stage.
Yeah, man. We just all need to slow down. I feel like that's the great lesson for everyone. It's just slow down. Why are you moving so fast? You know,
there's a middle ground though, right?
What?
So
what is it?
How have things been at home?
I've been busy still, but at home. So I'm still able to make dinner, and I'm still working and producing things and developing television content and all. But I have time. But this is what I do. I actually do things like this. I will have like a couple Zooms set up, a couple meetings, and then when I'm done, if I've been sitting on my butt for 3 hours, I'll just like, oh, cool, great, I'm done. I will strip down, jump in the pool, swim for a while, relax, you know, just
decompress.
Go for a little walk in the garden, then go back, get dressed again, and start up again. Yeah.
The first 2 weeks because I run myself ragged as well.
Yeah.
The first 2 weeks felt like a much needed vacation.
Yeah.
The next 2 months, I was getting cabin fever.
Really?
And I felt, I'm a very gregarious guy. I'm a mm-hmm. very happy guy. I'm
I don't
very,
see that at all.
Yeah.
I do see it. I'm kidding.
I'm a very social person.
Yeah.
I'm very extroverted.
What's your sign?
Virgo.
Virgo. Okay, cool.
Yeah, yeah.
Cool.
I found myself feeling, caught myself, and I think it's important. It's okay to react, to be short-tempered at times,
yeah.
but as long as you catch it and reel it back. I felt myself being short with my kids, and I'm the most fun. Like, I'm the fun dad. You know, I'm the cool dad.
Mm-hmm.
I felt myself getting short with them, and I had to catch it.
Yeah.
My wife was like, you okay? You needed some time outside the house?
Yeah,
and
man.
I was like, and so it took me...
Did you go for drives at all by yourself?
I tell you what, I smoked more cigars than I've smoked. It really helped just yeah. getting outside. And when the weather was right, Texas can be a bit shaky, but just sitting outside with a cigar and decompressing in peace and silence really helped.
But tell me also what you've been enjoying about like being home with your little ones.
Loved it. It's been great. But here's the thing. We pushed past it. So first couple months, keep in mind, we've been in this 6 months already.
Yeah.
So a couple months in, I'm over myself, and we've adjusted to the new norm.
Right.
We've engaged more. We took a trip. There's this beautiful, there's these parts of Texas that are so old and so inexpensive to rent. We rented this old mansion in the middle of...
Where?
Just outside of San Antonio. It's Gonzales, Texas.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I'm in Gonzales a lot, yeah.
Yeah, so they've got some old historic mansions that you can rent on Airbnb. Seven bedrooms or something, and so you can still be in the same house but be spread apart.
Yeah.
Ridiculously cheap, and all the trees on the property are 100 to 400 years old, and they're massive canopies, so there's this natural sun protection. I don't know if you know this, but I got to stay out of the sun.
Yeah.
So we took a week out there with family.
That's fantastic.
And we brought our two kids, or we brought our three kids. The oldest one was, she's raising a goat. So she, you know, there's ag culture is very big in Texas. Okay. We took three kids. My sister-in-law took her two kids. We had a family. We had like 15 people in the house. And it was perfect. Peace, outdoors, out of our house, far enough away from each
That's
other.
Sweet.
You adapt.
Yeah.
And so it's been great. And, You find a way to keep yourself busy.
That's great, man.
All right, so I've got a couple more bottles I want to try on. One
Sweet.
Of them is mine.
More. Yeah.
So, do you drink anything other than whiskey? You like rum? You like?
I'm not a huge rum fan.
All right, so let me push you on that.
Push
right?
me on it.
So, this is a bottle. I started bottling my own spirits. I have a whiskey festival in Texas
from Guyana.
Yeah. So, we found some individual barrels. One of the oldest set of stills, wooden pot stills in the world distilling rum are in Guyana. And they impart a lot of licorice notes. You made a cocktail in one of your episodes that had some licorice notes that you were talking about. And I thought, okay, I'm going to bring the Guyana, let him taste it. This isn't out yet. It'll be out in a couple of weeks.
Sweet. Congrats,
16-year-old cask strength, unfiltered rum. Our culture in America has treated rum like everything's Captain Morgan.
Yeah.
Right? So it's a mixing thing.
Yeah.
The rum world is incredibly fervent.
Is it more diverse? And
it's very diverse. I mean, the history behind rum is very much like our own.
I think they need some better marketing then.
Well, it's getting there.
Okay.
It's getting
good.
There.
So right.
Whiskey's going through a boom right now,
yeah.
and rum is right on the tail. So I'm going to give you a smaller pour here, just in case you don't like it. And that's okay. I didn't make it.
Okay.
So... But cask strength rums are very popular.
That's nice.
There's some, I mean, and they range in price. They get up there in price for some really great rums. So it's a little bit sweeter. It's not like whiskey.
Mm-hmm.
It's whiskey made from sugar.
Maybe that's it, because I always thought that rum you needed to accompany it with like pineapple or something.
This is an unfiltered, unchanged rum.
Cheers, man.
Give you a little cheers there.
Unfiltered, unchanged.
Oof, yeah.
Wow.
I knew that was going to light you up a little bit.
It lights you up, right? Just, it goes like pow, pow to the upper palate.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. A lot of licorice, a lot of, it's very bold spirit.
Wow.
I
feel like it just like punched me in the throat.
It's good though. I will tell you this.
I like it strong. It puts hair on your chest.
Do you smoke cigars?
Nah. Well, you know, I smoke a little bit, but not as much as I used to. I say no now because I'm not trying to inhale anything anymore.
Sure. Mm. Sure.
Well, but I appreciate the notes.
Of course.
This is beautiful. I actually really like this.
It's okay if you don't.
No, I actually really do like
just
it.
Just making sure.
No, I really like it. It reminds me, it makes me think of scotch. Maybe I just associated rum in a different way.
Sure.
I've never been a huge rum fan.
The overwhelming consensus, or the average person in the U.S., thinks of rum the wrong way.
Maybe it's because of those college years.
Of course.
Yeah.
Jack,
rum and Coke.
Wild Turkey 101.
Yeah.
Do you have a dream project that you really, like The Rock pushed for comic books? He wanted to be Black Adam and he got to be Black Adam. Is there something, I know you're in Walking Dead. I know you are the super serious, mysterious Victor Strand.
Yeah.
Is there something that you'd like to do that you haven't quite done yet?
Yeah, I've actually. I've attached myself to my production company. We've just attached ourselves to a project about Bass Reeves. You know, he was an incredible lawman, U.S. Marshal, African-American in the 1800s, brought in over 3,000 men in his time. And I played Bass Reeves actually on an episode of Timeless a few years ago. And then
you fell in love with the character?
Truly did. But then what I fell in love with, because I feel like people have tried to tell a story many times and tried to get that going. I think Morgan Freeman had a project going for a while. I think I have some comrades who have their eyes on some ways of telling a story. And I think I've figured out a way that's dynamic and reinvents the Old West in a new way. And so I think I figured that out as a creative, partnering with this writer named Alan McElroy, who's a brilliant writer. And basically he conceived this project. And I think we're going to try to make that happen with myself playing Bass Reeves. And yeah, but in a very unique way, you know?
So are you planning on doing it in movie form or television?
Television.
Yeah?
I think television right now, but I think, because I feel like it should be a series. But I'm trying to find my way. We've actually figured out a very unique way of telling this story, you know, so it's not, you know, cradle to grave, but it's really an examination of a lawman, you know, but played by, you know, by me.
So have you thought of a network to do it on?
AMC has partnered with me.
Yeah.
AMC Studios, where we're developing it together.
I think that's great.
Yeah, thanks,
yeah, yeah,
man.
I would love to see, do you remember what, was it 1800s?
1800s, yeah.
Oh, that would be great. Like a real brutal, absolutely, just no-nonsense, knock it out of the park.
Arkansas, exactly. You know, he's working it out with the native population as well. It's really kind of cool.
That's a difficult dynamic as well.
Yeah.
No-nonsense time period in which he had to have been battling... Well, just horrible assumptions about.
Of course, but also it's like it's the battle of what we're all battling right now. You're trying to battle for truth and integrity. You know what I mean? So it's like you're trying to fight the powers of darkness. So I like the idea of dialing it up.
Sure.
So it's like, yeah, darkness is coming all around you, but you're seeking the light. And I think that's what Bass Reeves is as a character. You know.
What's your vision for him? You going to be bulkier? Or you want
to say? Well, he was actually known to be 6'2" and 200 pounds. And
oh,
I'm 6'2" and I'm 195.
About the same. You plan on being the same?
Yeah, everything's the same. But I feel like he's like, I feel like there's something about him. I feel like I understand where he lives. And I think I had to explore him once before, even with an episode of Timeless. I really went deep into this dude, he had like 11 children. A wife, everything about him, he was a solid dude, but he also he worked hard and came home, and he was such a family guy when he was home and truly invested in his family and his life. But he was also out there in territories that were not set up for him.
No.
But he learned to operate within the system.
He paved his way.
He truly did.
That's going to be exciting.
Yeah, man.
So is it happening for sure?
Well,
we're
pushing towards it. You know, Alan came to me with the idea. Then we got AMC involved, and now we're developing it. And hopefully we continue to partner. And, you know, we have some ideas about the vision of it that I'll keep under wraps. But I think it's dynamic, and I think it's something that's going to attract a lot of interesting directors.
It's also not... I can't think of anything else that currently exists or previously exists. It's its own thing.
Absolutely. It's its own thing.
No one's going to think it's derivative.
No, because I think the thing is derivative is like every time you think of a Western, you approach somebody with a Western, they think of, you know, some white guy.
Harrison Ford, but aliens, yeah.
Exactly, you know, but I'm like, no, the greatest lawman actually who the Lone Ranger was based on was based off of Bass Reeves. So why not give Bass Reeves his due? But I think it's about finding the way in to tell the story. I think that I don't want it to, I want to sort of blow the dust off the Old West with the vision that I think that Alan and I have. It's like to really almost like, you know, I guess like how Jordan has sort of reinvented sort of, you know,
horror.
The horror.
Yeah.
So like I like to do that with the lens of someone in, you know, 2020 now and say, oh, this is the way I see Western.
Jordan, agreed 100%. No, first of all, no one's touched other genres, I think, with the black perspective other than comedy.
Yeah.
Jordan introducing a new revamp on horror and doing exceptionally well at it.
Yeah.
Westerns.
Yeah.
From that perspective,
Coleman Domingo
would be fantastic. And by the way, your name is like a perfect show, like a Coleman Domingo. I mean, it's a perfect name for
Thanks,
that.
Thanks, man.
So, I don't mean to fluff you up too much. It's hard not to dive and do the research of guests on the show, and not when you immerse yourself in them to not just kind of get lost in it a little bit.
Thanks.
So it's huge, man. I'm really
Thank
happy
you.
For you.
I appreciate it.
All right, so next pour. You got a fairly empty glass. You can feel free to clean one out and dump it.
Okay, here we go.
So this is 1975. Now, the corks on these were so awful. Anytime you open these old bottles, the corks just dissolve immediately. Yeah. So you always save your corks, especially when you have a bunch of vintage bottles in the house. Luckily, your screw top is a screw top. So this is going to be a lot hotter than what you tried before.
So this is 1975, right?
1975. Yep, bottled in 75. A lot of these end up in auction. Right now, the bourbon world is blowing up on Facebook. I think Jeff. Twitter, yes. Are you more Twitter, more Instagram? More Instagram.
Instagram.
Yeah. Twitter, Instagram, they have their niche, but the bourbon fanatic club, black market trading type thing.
It's so smooth. It's so drinkable. It's, oh my it's God. Lovely.
This is what true dusty bourbon tastes like. Nice. I'm such a fan.
Yeah, I'll go through like a couple of these in a night, I can tell. It was just like, it's fruity, warm.
Definitely a little warmer. Yeah. Mm-hmm. 8 years old, so a little older than your buddy there.
Yeah.
I think when they retailed, they probably retailed for around, I don't know, less than $20 back right. then in the 70s. Now they go for, depending on the year, you get in the, before 70s, you're getting up to 900, 800, somewhere in there.
Mm-hmm.
70s, you can get for 500, 600 bucks.
Fantastic. That's great.
How often are you doing bottomless brunches with Coleman?
I'm doing it. We have 6 episodes, so we just aired the first one of this season. With
there's 4 up.
Yeah, there's 4 up, and we have so 10 total. Yeah,
oh, okay, yeah. I see.
Yeah,
Mo Collins.
We're now in season 2. Exactly. Mo Collins started it off. Her and Izzy Nash.
You're inviting people, and I love.
That's exactly. You know, these are all people from my phone book. Basically, these are people I know and I love. They're not on the show to promote anything. I really wanted people to get to know them the way I know them and then get to know each other. I'm like, oh, so even the pairings are very
Was that curated. A humble brag right there?
No, it was just saying that like I just wanted people who are like just
sure.
people who I know and love and care about instead of like being it like, oh, this person's promoting a movie. I'm like, that's not interesting to me. I want people who I have some connection with. At least I had to have some connection, you know?
Well, the love between you and Yaya is very clear. I
That's
watched,
my brother.
Yeah. I watched first match because of it. And I don't know if I mentioned this earlier, and I'll double down on it. The whiskey's warmed me up a little okay. bit. But I think you guys should do more together.
Yeah?
And I mean that...
We work well together. We work really well together.
I mean that extremely... with as much emphasis as I can. I think you guys have a great dynamic. He comes off extremely... it's so crazy. In Aquaman, he came off very serious and, you know, a badass. But on that episode, the dynamic between you two was just so fun and lighthearted, and you guys talked about how you did First Match together. I immediately, after that episode, I watched First Match and was like, oh, it's so good.
You know what I love about Yaya is that he knows how to dance. He knows how to dance, not dance. I'm sure he can dance. If you saw The Get Down, he can dance.
Sure.
But he knows how to dance with a scene partner. That's what I love. It's like he knows we can go all over the map with a scene, just like people like me and Regina King. It's like... the people who are
Another
open
fantastic.
And available. I'm just name dropping lots of people.
Yeah,
that's all I'm going to do today.
Yeah,
or Daniel Day-Lewis, you know?
Sure.
He knows how to, I'm just going to keep rising to the top of my resume. No, but these are people who know how to dance. They know to, it's like, so whatever you're giving, they're open and available. And because that's the way I am as well.
Sure.
I don't come in with a preconceived notion on the way I think the scene is going to go. I do my work on my lines and do my research, et cetera. And then I'm available and say like, oh, that's where you're going. And then
sure.
we... And so you see this live kinetic thing happening. And I think that's what I love. That's why I love being an actor. It's like you're waiting for those moments. And Yaya is one of those dudes who does that.
You know, like power couples in Hollywood, people think of Brad and Angelina or whoever and whoever. You and Yaya was like, I want to see more of that.
Wow.
Key and Peele. Same thing. They're dynamic. They were together on Mad TV. Then they started their own show together on Comedy Central. The dynamic amplifies.
You know, the funny thing is, I think I have that even. I think I have that with Yaya, like you said, but I think I have it also with Kim Dickens. Kim Dickens has become one of my closest friends, and the way we used to work together on Fear the Walking Dead, and I just know already that I'm hungry for that dynamic again in a different way. Like in a very, we always say I think we pitched to a friend's show. We're like, can we come on as like this weird couple that wants to like, you know, get you into bed or something like that. Like we want to like do weird things together.
Right.
You know, what period dramas, you name it. I feel like because we just like, we love, I think also because I think it's a work ethic that we both appreciate from each other. And also we just love to, to dance with them.
A great candid dynamic between two professionals that are, you know what you're doing, is something that as an audience member, we're going to soak that up.
Yeah.
And we're going to be invested.
You feel
it. We're going to be invested in both y'all.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And that's exactly what I watched all of Bottomless Brunch with Coleman Domingo.
Mm-hmm.
And that episode with you, Common, and Yaya.
That was a special one, right?
I was in it. And then the same thing with Niecy Nash and Mo Collins. I love Mo Collins. One of the ones I've always wanted, Deborah Wilson. I've always wanted to meet her. Her Whitney Houston impression, to me, she was up there in terms of what made that show fantastic.
Yeah.
And there's this Mo Collins. She's so good.
Mo is so dynamic. And when you meet her, she's actually pretty shy. She's pretty shy. She's very intelligent. She's very sort of quiet, actually. And then she sort of can, but she can, because she's really, you can tell that she was an observer. Like, I believe she was like an observer growing up. I don't think she was the kid getting into trouble. I think she was watching.
Sure.
And then she knows how to interpret, which makes her so brilliant, you know?
I watched the first two seasons of Fear the Walking Dead,
mm-hmm.
but I binge watched, and then I saw your Instagram post recently where the bloodshot-eyed, was it on Instagram?
Yeah, probably. Yeah. I'm just trying to remember what I did.
You were talking about the upcoming season. You can't wait for the next
Oh, yeah. That was Morgan. That was Lenny James' Bloodshot Eyes. And because I think it's a dynamic season. This new season is going to, like, just, I think, blow people away. The past couple seasons, it was like a sort of resetting of the show in many ways.
Sure.
Some cast members went away, new cast members. And I think it's like, I think it's always dynamic story. I feel like they were on this very idealistic journey for the past couple seasons, believing in the good of people.
Sure.
And they realize they're still in an apocalypse and they have to do some terrible things to get things done.
They're going to have to get over themselves.
Yeah, they're going to have to like actually get over themselves.
Sure.
And actually believe that, you know, hey, you could, maybe the things you need to do is not going to be popular, but you have to do it. You know, so I think
that's what Victor did.
So I personally think it's like leaning more on a Victor Strand philosophy, which is like, I think, six seasons in the making, where it's like people have to do, you have to make the hard calls in order to survive.
The rest of the cast is learning to adopt you.
Yeah, but at first they were resistant.
Correct.
Of me. They were resistant of me.
You had already
settled
in the reality of the situation.
Yeah, and they realized it's like, you know, whether, you know, like Victor Strand is still here. And it's like, there's a reason why he survived. Because as a character, he is, he's willing to shapeshift and change, and he's willing to be unpopular for some of his decisions. But as long as he's still standing, I think he's cool.
As we move into the last pour.
Yeah.
As I'm preparing the pour.
I'm totally lit. Yeah.
Do you know how, I mean, obviously I know you
do
can't,
I know
you can't say anything.
Okay.
And I don't expect you to say anything, but do you know the fate of Victor?
This is why you asked us the question over, look at me.
I wait till the end of it.
I know exactly what's happening with Victor Strand. Now, do I know what's happening? The fate of Victor Strand. I do know in season six that we see more elements of season one and season two in Victor Strand.
Okay.
I think he's been sort of broken down and deconstructed, and I think he's built himself back up because he's like, you know what, this hopey changey, I can't get into it.
Sure.
I need to get into, like, you know, cutting off heads and making things happen.
Yeah. Do you have or
how would I want him to end?
Yes. That's what my next question is.
I think I would want him to end no matter what, having complete agency in his world. I think a lot of times he's been a part of something and he didn't want to be a part of it.
Sure.
He's more just like an individual
in his way.
In his way. I feel like he would want to, it has to be committed to the way Victor Strand believes he should live or die. And I think that's the way, whatever way he goes out eventually, you know, whether it's season 25 or, you know, next season or whatever, or who knows, whatever way he goes out, I want it to be to make sure that he goes out
the best possible
the
way.
Best possible
his way.
Yeah, his way. In my way, probably like, you know, drinking and listening to Frank. Maybe it could be that subtle. Because I don't believe that everyone deserves a heroic end.
Sure.
Because I feel like every showrunner is always trying to write like, oh, here's a heroic end and completes this character. I think some people get stung by a bee.
You want him to end that speaks to him and his character.
Yeah.
Okay, so last pour.
Which is?
This is not whiskey. This is in a beautiful area that the U.S. government and the TTB call a specialty spirit.
A specialty spirit.
It's not whiskey, it's not rum, it's not brandy, but it's got elements of all three. It's made from Mission Figs, which is a brandy, right? Turbinado Sugar, which is more rum, and local Texas honey.
Mm.
So it's going to be more sweeter, but it's also spent its entire life in a sherry barrel. Now, this is actually picked by me. This is a single barrel. It's got a little show sticker there.
It's beautiful.
Whiskey Pete, Whiskey Neat on ESPN. It's very, very popular in the current whiskey environment to travel to a distillery, to taste through different barrels and find the perfect one.
Yeah.
This is my honey barrel.
Oh, wow.
So I hand selected this. You can only get it. Actually, you can't get it anymore. It's sold out the day it was released.
Shut up.
Smell you. You're the only one in California tasting this right
what?
Now. Right?
All right, so everybody in your face.
Yeah, there's something like, I want to say less than 100 bottles of it. So it's very, very limited. It's also very high proof, 61%. It's a doozy,
but we're gonna
enjoy it.
That.
Here we go.
Oh, wow.
Oh, yeah. It smells incredible. It's my favorite part of the nose.
I mean, open up your sinuses.
Balcones is the second oldest distillery within Texas.
Now, that is fantastic.
Isn't that good?
That is absolutely fantastic. That's like everything. That's beautiful.
It's so beautiful, right?
It's beautiful.
It spent its entire life in an Oloroso sherry barrel, so we get a lot of that wine influence. It's so powerful.
It's amazing.
It's one of my favorite things I've ever picked.
Whoa.
And you can't get it anywhere. It's not available. So,
I don't know why. You bring this here just to taunt and tease people.
Just to, listen, this is me saying I appreciate everything you've done.
Oh, man.
Now,
thank you.
You've had a recent, I don't know how recent it was. I was reading through a bunch, but you had a theater award named after you.
Oh, yeah, man.
Yeah. This is my version of that. So,
oh, man. So. You just, this is the best day. Truly. Thank you.
Oh, yeah. Balcones.
Oh, wow, that's fantastic.
It's really big, really bold. Lots of honey, lots of sherry.
You know, all I'm going to do is go and jump in the pool now. That's it.
Go
that's
enjoy
all
yourself.
Now.
Yeah, yeah.
That's
enjoy
all
enjoy
do.
Your day. I really appreciate you coming on. We're friends.
Yeah, man. Absolutely.
Whether you like it or not, we are now friends.
Dude, absolutely.
So
dude.
I really appreciate it. I'm going to give you an air bump.
Air bump to you.
Yeah, and thank you so much for doing this. Every chance I come out to LA, I would love to have another drink with you.
Dude, I would love it.
You're fantastic. Cheers,
come to
man.
The Wolves. Come to another bar. You know.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
cheers, man.
Thanks.
Cheers.
Balcones' first ever year-round bourbon was an inspiration. It all had to work together. A blend of carefully selected ingredients, Texas-sized pot stills, and creative people determined to find the absolute best way to usher a new whiskey along. When you discover how it pairs with a meaningful moment, suddenly the feeling of drinking great whiskey becomes a whole lot more.